thought I'd read this one because he thinks it's about our visiting stray cat, but actually it's about him. It's called Vital Impulse, and it's got an epigraph from Matthew Hollis. I have a cat now. It comes in, it goes out. He can't sit still, kept in too long, and he's up and down with the incomprehensible leapings of a branded creature. He walks very fast, vibrations casting bait in various directions. Not that I'm saying he's hunting. It's just that in this state, he's unreachable, as though an invisible glass surrounds his agile body. At other times, I can walk right through him. All matter is merely image, after all. In any case, he isn't there, but sprawling on some rooftop or springing from the highest tree, his only landing gear, ingenuity. The best approach is an open door. He eventually comes in.
Thanks, Everett. Next up, could we call Patrick Carter to the mic, please?
If you're Irish, you have to admit to, you have to accept that somewhere in your lineage, whether you go back several hundred years or several thousand, there are people who laid down with cattle. That is people who slept with cattle. What's wrong with you guys? No, not people who had sex with cattle. Right? People don't have sex with cattle. People have sex with sheep. So anyway, this is a poem about a guy laid down cattle. It's called Cowshed.
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 She's from Perry.
Yeah. Sometimes when I get beyond myself, I assure myself from back in Meekison. I can trace my lineage in the city back to the 1600s, but then I have to admit there's another part of my lineage that was up to their Oxters and Bogwater in West Cork and Kerry on the same time.
Yep, yep, boy.
Cowshed.
Cowshed.
The man who slept in the cowshed leant on the cattle for warmth. They let him suck milk straight from the teat.
Jesus Christ.
And he never had a hitch scratching his back on their horns as their bells jangled. If he needed his face scrubbed, he would spray himself with grass juice and the cows would lick him clean with their fuzzy tongues. In cafes, people shifted their chairs away from him. He reeked too ripe, like melting camembert or malines. People thought he might have roosted with chickens, only for coops being too cramped. One day, in desperate humour, he shrouded his head in the caul of a just-born calf. It had a lacy-looking quality, even if it felt as tacky as taffy. He heisted the village post office, thinking, nobody will know who I am. They simply cleared his own account for him and sniggered as he made his getaway. He owned a perfectly good house, good for living in. But after his widower dad died, he took to the shed As a boy, he had glimpsed the ghost of a serene, well-lived girl milking the cows. So he began to sleep among the moors in the hope of seeing her again. And after years, when he had forgotten her, he still slept there. Someday, he mulled, I'll move the cows into the house when I have a wife I can share them with.
That's no autobiographical part. Great point. Next, could we have Shauna Lee Lynch, please?
Can I move this over?
Of course you can.
Hey, what a wonderful night of words. I'll put in a very good order. So I wrote this yesterday for my sister, who's 14. And she's full of hormones and confusion. But aren't we all? Why is it you look in the shine and criticize yourself with your own eye? You see not the seas or the stars nor the grass. Instead, you focus on the fat on your ass. You see, since you were small, before you could crawl, in a way, you were made to fall. Fall to the pressures of saying yes, sir, publishing pushing puberty into a blur. Your eyelashes must be long, skin must be taut. Don't be too loud or too fierce in thought. I know it's hard. Really, it is. It makes no sense and probably never will. But you have to push through it, ignore the frenzy, and feed your mind, and you'll see the beauty. Look in the mirror to see hopes and dreams, not question your choice of moisturizing creams. I know it's easier said than done when you turn on the TV and all you see is bums. Big booty bitches twerking bare skin and 100 new ways for you to stay slim. You have potential to be anything at all, an artist or a teacher or a politician in the Dáil. Look not to the Jenners or Kardashian clans, but to books and nature, and then make a plan to ignore the urge to count calories and biscuits and put your abilities towards maths and physics. Promise yourself to be self-kind, put emphasis not on body, but on mind. But you're only young, and you'll learn in time that inner, not outer, is how you will shine.
Thank you, Shauna. Next up, could we call on Dee O'Neill, please?
This is a poem I wrote it years ago. There was one time I was in a bar and there was a fella, there was a band playing, and an old man got up to dance. And it seemed to me the more the band played, the more the old man danced, and it looked like one was trying to best the other. So I wrote the poem and I called it The Contest, so I kind of put it to music as well, because as far as I'm concerned, it seems to be a song, or it's more a song than a poem. So, bear with me, folks. Sweet pour the tune from the piper's lips, light on the ground where the dancer steps. Then music and dancing still the night, and still poured on when night was light, and as the midday hour to clear, the pipe played on strong and clear, even still when darkness fell, the pipe played on the dance as well. Just as it chimed the midnight hour, the dancing ceased upon the floor. The piper taught the final score. Alas, it was the shoes that tore. Before he began to dance once more, and the pipe was in the lips again, with a mighty dance of love and pain. On and on fit to drop, who would be the first to stop? Who could hear the dance until the death? For all we know, they're at it yet. Now, it's a great old showbiz adage to always try and leave your audience laughing, right? So it's a small little poem. It's about two JCBs. As one JCB lover, when they were finished making love, gazed up at the romantic moon high above. They know what they say is very true. The earth moved for me, did it move for you? That's it, folks. Thank you.
D, one of the Kerry Pirates, our reigning slam five-word champions. Thanks a million. Next up, could we call on Ali Bracken?
This is a poem called Barren, which is the old English word for children. How can a child with a child teach its child to be an adult? He has not yet ceased to be a child himself. What can a child with a child learn from its child, if this child has only learned from a child itself? When can a child with a child play with its child, if such a child denies the toy itself? Where can a child with a child live with its child, if one's child dwells for the soul of oneself? Will there be a child with a child that rises to be an adult in such a world of infinite jest? Could there be a child with a child that runs from its child in spite of dreams of being best? Should there be a child with a child that speaks to its child in inverse to the clinical test? Would there be a child with a child if just one such child, just one, could redeem its irresponsible zest?
Thank you, Ali. Next up, we have Owen O'Sullivan.
Oh, my God! Oh, yeah. Are you right there?
This is a little poem. I wrote, a lot of you would be too young now to remember it, in the late 70s we used to go dancing in a Cork in a place called Francis Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody remember it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about the late 70s, brown girl in the ring, right?
Yeah.
Jeans and hard shorts, Farla pants, cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Blue fluorescent lights, everybody looked fabulous. White, big set of Delph in the head, dandruff on the shirt. Everybody looked fabulous under these blue lights. But then the blue lights went off and on came the white lights. And how it worked in Francis Hall was all the women were on one side of the hall and the lads were at the other. The women went out dancing together, the lads lamped, the women saw who was, and they went out and tapped them for the dance. Sometimes you got to dance, sometimes you got blown out. So you do the chuck and walk over to them, you see, but you might have to do the walk of shame back. But anyhow, when the white lights came on, then you would have to see what you would have to tap in. Fuck it, you know, just. So I wrote this poem anyhow. This is going to set myself in it. Now, bear in mind, this is the 70s, totally politically incorrect now. This is a savage attack on women.
It's a savage attack on men you wrote to make.
No.
Anyway.
Anyhow, it's called A Pair of Wands, and it's all about tapping two wands for a dance in Francis Hall.
Oh, God.
We were squinting and laughing for ones in the hall when we spot two fine lashers, but my one's too tall. Things start looking dodgy towards the end of the night when we eyeball two loners and they look the right height. So we squeeze in our buttocks, we loosens our cords, we fixes our quiffs, and we settles our scrotes. We shank smear on over and we give him a jab, but my buddy starts whinging because his one's a scag. I'm really impressed because my one's a cutie. At least from a distance she looked like a beauty. Out on the side lanes, me buddy's throwing spasms, but I don't give a fuck because I'm on for me nandoms. Now we're dancing the clinger and we're all on our own. Just then I realised that her teeth aren't her own. When I started to shake and I started to quiver, when I caught a glimpse of her arse in the mirror. She has pimples and warts and a queer yellow rash. But what frightened me most was her locks and her tash. Her forearms are massive, her neck is so thick. I'm fully convinced she is bald and a dick. There's a green slimy scum all over her lips, and the hairs up her nose are making me sick. I look in her eyes, she's squeezing me kidneys. Oh Jesus almighty, she's going to shift me. I can feel me poor face on a deep scarlet tartan, and I have little control over me sweating and farting. Oh Jesus have mercy from this demon deliver, and I gladly donate me heart and sliver. Just when I resort to be in love with this dragon, the ward filters back, she's already jagged. That's a true story.
Thank you, Aaron.
Most of them don't understand.
The second quarter of the Kerry Pirates. And we have another one, Norma O'Sullivan.
Les yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche, voilà le portrait sans retouche de là mon cœur, j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il m'a dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, il me parle de bonheur, dont je connais la cause.
Before you proceed to walk all over me. Please ensure you have all your belongings. I don't want your belongings belonging with me when you're gone. I want to wipe you from memory because I know you sure won't remember me. One carry-on bag per passenger, please. All to put your mind at ease. In case I were to find your things, at least its contents would only be skin deep. No secrets or stories for me to keep. One carry-on bag per passenger, please. But you don't need me to repeat. You knew your stay would be short and sweet. Please keep all arms, legs, and other limbs in your chosen seat. Do not leave your touch lingering when we meet, as excessive touching will accelerate my heartbeat. And mine will beat when I retreat back on times when we would meet, and how they were filled with affection and deceit. Despite evidence that was firmly concrete, I'll cut my losses and walk away in defeat. Please take note of your emergency exits. So when the fear kicks in and the panic, you can make a quick escape. No grand farewells or long goodbyes. In an effort to avoid the teary eyes, grab a parachute, you've made your choice. Go ahead and jump. Take your sweet nothings as you go, and I'll delete you from the manifesto, so nobody will ever know that you were here and gone tomorrow.
Well done, Megan. Thank you. Next up, we have Mary O'Connell.
Well, since singing seems to be the order of the day, I never sing, but I have tried this one. I'm just an old-fashioned girl with an old-fashioned mind. Not sophisticated, I'm the plain and simple kind. I want an old-fashioned house with an old-fashioned fence and an old-fashioned millionaire. I like the plain and simple car, a cerise Cadillac, long enough to have a bowling alley in the back. I want an old-fashioned house with an old-fashioned fence and an old-fashioned millionaire. I like the plain, simple car. I like the plain... I like Chopin and Bizet and the tongues of Nestoday, string quartets and Polynesian carvers. But the music that excels is the sound of oil wells as they slurp, slurp, slurp into the barrels. My little home will be quaint with a sweet parasol, and instead of carpets, I'll have money wall to wall. I want an old-fashioned house with an old-fashioned fence and an old-fashioned millionaire.
Don't we all? Thank you, Mary. Next up, can we have Patricia Walsh?
Hey!
There's no singing for me, I'm sorry to disappoint. Do any of you know what a mouse potato is?
A mouse potato.
It means someone who's sucking the computer like all the day. It's probably like a couch potato but doesn't want a computer.
Oh, I'm a mouse potato.
Mouse potato. Nicely countered, unswayed by goodness, for fighting a storm in a bloodless fight, raking qualifications into the small hours, entertaining ceaseless over an animated bile. Heartfelt submission sealed a letter of fate, outdoor sports mangled on the PlayStation. Swimming on demand and acting with his position. Then apologizing for a dissection incurred. Time to abort a cozy window. Convenience of death a starker choice. Widening blurs the cause be ignored. Flat box dreams a closet of glory. Hopeless children get a stab at it. Hand-eye coordination in reigning supreme. Future rights, blunders, fostering a need. Accuracy under pressure, a charged price. The wrists of an 8-year-old, what of it now? The right hand will always find a welcome home. Beating the mist begotten, standing alone. Criminal masterminds hailing the missions. Accumulated coffee, a worn-out prosperity. Sucks as nature intended, a slow burnout. Likely friends saw attention deficit. Imaginary goods are claimed still likely. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Next, I have it's Carol Ann. Sorry, is it Codal?
It's Carol Ann
Gould. Gould. Carol Ann Gould.
This is called Das Just Milo.
I'm just a fucking piece of shit. No two ways about it. Fucking useless. Worthless. No rights. None. Not even one. All I ever do is try to keep people happy. Make people happy. Or help people be happy with themselves. But nobody cares. So unfair. People just won't stop at me. I think all I ever do is look for sympathy. All I ever do is try my best and have a bit of a laugh, you know? Get people to like my jokes. Pick people up and drop them wherever they want to go. People are just so ignorant. Just make me feel like I can't. All I am is an agony aunt. John, they call me. I actually am good crack. Despite what you might think after hearing all that. You'd see me all the time up and down the Oliver Plunkett Street. Bit of a meet and greet, rubbing a kiss from cheek to cheek. Make sure they think well of me. My insecurities won't be what they see, or the things that I can't get rid. Sure, everyone fucking loves me, kid.
Thanks, Caroline. Next up, could we call on Colin Scully?
This actually is an advice of my uncle who died earlier this year, about February, but it's called Culture Night. Culture me arse, don't talk to me about culture. There's no culture in Cork. I'll tell you about culture. No. Butter Exchange, Brass and Reed Band. No, that's culture. There was men played in that who played for royalty. Old Fusiliers trained in London. There was one fella stapling and he played for the King at Windsor Palace. There were seven or eight bands in Cork that time. They'd be besting each other for Sunday morning down the park. Such rivalry. And that's back in the 40s now. And choirs, don't talk to me about that choral festival. Bringing in fellas from abroad. There were great choirs in Cork long before that. I remember up in the North Cathedral, Brother Jerome had a choir. Bass, baritone, tenor, whatever you like. Alois Fleischman couldn't believe it. He was stunned when he heard him. Culture night, how are ya? Do you know what killed culture in Cork? The Republicans. When they burned down the Opera House. My God, the old Opera House. What a beautiful building. It had a wonderful circular entrance, coming out onto the place, and the gorgeous old metal staircase inside, and the shows on a Saturday night. Gilbert and Sullivan, the Gondoliers. Now that was a show, you know that. Your father was in it, the Gilbert and Sullivan Society. That's not used to have no at all. Even Sunday miscellany has gone to pot. Gone are the days when you'd hear John McCormack of a morning sing a beautiful melody from Thomas More. Oh, believe me, if all those endearing young charms which I gaze on so fondly today are the last rose of summer. Notice I'll have in the Beatles, I wouldn't give you tuppence for them. That's culture for you. They're all culture, no. With their year of culture and their culture day, all you have to do now is pick up a brush and you're an artist. I could tell you about art. James Barry from Watery Lane. Walked himself up from nothing, painted the gods. That's what art should be about. Mirroring the heavens. Did you ever see any of his stuff? Classical. That's what it's all about. Copying the ancients. Stunning the masters. Like St. Mary's and Pope's Quay. Or the courthouse. No, that's real architecture. I'd like that St. Francis de Munda too. Knocked down a beautiful building to build that Byzantine thing. What do they know about churches? The Greeks? The Italians. That's who we should follow. That's who invented culture. Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Pavarotti. There's no culture in Cork, not anymore. The only culture's in the butter. And that's not right either. I could tell you about butter, real butter, made the old way.
Thank you, Colin. Next up, Niall Herriot.
This is called Whirlpools. In the game of life, we can be who we think we are and still be able to see the greater reality living life through us as part of the hologram. We can experience everything, both good and bad, either with joyful exuberance or as a dramatic challenge. The universe, perhaps multiverse, is simply energy at play, a kaleidoscope of cosmic music. Or, to look at it another way, the greater reality is an ocean of varying possibility, and we are each tiny whirlpools in the changing tides of life. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Niall. Okay, we've just got about four poets left, I think, so far. Unless anyone else would like to say a poem, just give us an old shout. Next up, we'd like to call Marchi. Marchi? Marchi. Marchi. Marchi.
English is not my first language. Sorry.
You're speaking it better than a lot of people whose first language it is.
Hopefully not. Please don't grow up. When you do, you'll see. The world is scary. There's no unicorns and glee. Please stay small. Don't let your feet, hands and nose grow. You'll be gross and ugly. You'll frown all the time because you won't sleep fine. Think about what others expect. Won't kiss your mother's cheek. And not to forget, elders don't deserve any respect. Because when you grow up, you have the world on the palm of your hand. Until your heart skips a beat or two when you see those eyes. Don't worry, every broken-hearted person cries. No matter if they're a kid or an adult, yes. Grown-ups weep too. You probably hear different. Well, those are the lies world feeds you so you'll want to grow up. But please, don't grow up. Your skin will wrinkle, may not be angry or laugh. Being big is awful. And the worst part? You'll end up with someone's eyes. Running, crying, yelling, feeling, loving, hating, breaking, talking, not speaking, ignoring, hoping, wiping tears, thanking, caring for three other sets of eyes, telling them not to grow up, to keep the warmth of their hearts to yourself just a little bit longer.
Thank you, Archie. Next up, can we call on Margaret Carr, please?
Hey there. I'd just like to say we all know what time is, but have we ever contemplated one of the smaller units of time? This is a very short poem to ask you to just to think about that. It's called A Minute. I have only got a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced up to me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it.
Thank you, Margaret. Just a couple of more acts to go. So penultimately, could we please call on Rab and Mags, please?
It's what I did before. It's the night I went to Hamlet, and I met Polonius looking for a taxi after Oville. And I took him over to Mainz and he had a fabulous night without me. I went home because I was a pumpkin. Last night Polonius came unto me. He was looking to be born home, or was it for a taxi? Take me to Revant Pharmacy. The long valley is dark and closed, the empty bottles rip and wax for our happy repose. I announced him to the poets, your vivacity. He wished him to orate, he wished to jitterbug with me. Riding, sweeping swiftly, if I stood still, he'd see I was no more than nymph, no Ophelia of the lea. With pansies and clementines woven in my hair, mine was a chippy, choppy, chestnut sort of affair. So we floated through Cremains, wine velvet theatre stage, where the band won't play till stroke of midnight. So I vanished tonight air. Straight back to my pumpkin, flew in flowers in my wake. I drowned in the warmth of Polonius, the bright sweet prince, who dark blue angels must take. They did too.
Good old, are you?
Yeah.
What would you think about?
If I can get it up like this.
Sorry to clean it up.
I want this one for Abby. Watched over by shadows of Hebrides.
For 3 hours. So all the poems I'd learned what's to do with Cork, and we've had some great moments. Max has a tune about the River Lee, and you can see the electric reflected into the Key Co-op, and the bus was just going by there and she was playing it. And I have this poem about St. Dominic's Terrace, which is on Frenchy's Quay. And suddenly, you know, oh no, I think it was on our first circulation on the bus, because we went around 3 times, we an hour at a time, you know, playing all this stuff and doing all these poems. Like, it was the gas, like, it was a great track. But you know what I mean? There we were going past number one, St. Dominic's Terrace, and I'm doing my poem and pointing at it, and you know, only 3 people on the bus. So, I'll do a couple of them for the crack. This is, you know, it's like it was the first poem I ever wrote when I came to Cork. It's called An Immigrant's Poem. And number one, St. Dominic's Terrace, place of hope and heart, fresh start, new beginning, watershed, clear and confused, used and unused, tin of a whistle, giggle of kids, dormer windows overlooking private bits, sing song of the accent, smell of the sea, and number one, St. Dominic's Terrace, you'll make a good home for me. And then I went for my first, I went for a job in English Market, and this is a poem about that. 50 quid a day, is it? And how many hours will there be? Ah, sure, 10.5 hours a day only, she see you through, says he. 10.5 hours a day, says I, and how many breaks will there be? Ah, sure, you can stop at the top of the shop and take yourself some tea. And what about some safety gear to make me as safe as can be? Ah, sure, there's an old pair of boots you'd suit, because they once suited me. 10.5 hours a day, says I. 10.5, says he. Ah, sure, 50 quid and an old pair of boots is not enough for me. So I must go and travel now this green and pleasant isle in search of an employer without avarice or guile. I doubt I will find one so. And I cry into my beer, because greed in a Catholic country is epidemic here. Oh. Thanks. That doesn't really, that poem doesn't endear me to advocates of the English Market. And Pat hates me for writing it, but not you. The fish man. You know, like, sometimes as a poet, you say, like, in my experience, I've been asked to write poems a few times, and this was one of the poems I was asked to write, and it's, well, the story is the poem, and the poem is the story. Geography is not my strong point. Nuclear-free Cork, now there's a laughing. I met your man in the pub and he showed me the photographs. It seems in the early 90s they imported some scrap, offloaded at Hall Bowling for the lads done at Irish Steel. This was before ISPA. So the lads took the scrap and he put it through the plant and he turned it into shiny new girders to satisfy the German demand. And then the lads took the girders and they put them on a ship and he sent it off to Germany, it may be. I can't remember the first name I came up with, a Hajjuk split. As I said before, geography's not my strong point. Anyway, the lads washed their hands and thought, job well done, so imagine their consternation when the girders were returned. It seems like the girders were well beyond the pale because the German's Geiger counter went right up off the scale. So what was the story? What was the score? The lads were really angry. It was very nearly war, but there was one book there, a good old friend of mine, and he read them out an article over from the London Times. It seems the bright sparks at Sellafield had knocked some buildings down and he didn't want all that radioactive scrap left lying around. So who was responsible? Who was to blame? Sellafield washed their hands of it, the management did the same, leukemia and cancer got swished through our lads, and nobody seemed to give a fuck. It's really very sad. And there's money, a moonless, cloudless night, when a harbour seems to glow, and nobody knows the source of it, but it's not from the lights of Cove. Woo!
Thank you, Rab. I have to say, it's been one of the best culture nights ever. It's been a great culture night. Thank you very much. It's really good. But it's really, really mild compared to our Monday nights, you know? This is probably the mildest night of the year. We have 50 nights of the year, right? No, honestly, we do. We got guest poets every Monday. We got Ivor Chand. At midnight, we all go up to Maine's Wine Bar just to get over all the intensity of the poetry. Right? Anyway, we get home at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. Tuesday is the new Sunday, you know? So come along to Avail on a Monday. One Monday out of your year, and I tell you, you'll enrich yourself. You know, right. So, our final guest tonight, right? Kieran McCartney.
Cyrus, you're late, lad. I was in Rab's favourite place to find employment. I was actually working in the English Record. Jermaine was asking after Rab, was like, yeah, I'm going to water him down. Happy Culture Night! Woo! It's called an Art House. It helps before you listen to this poem if you count your next 5 breaths. Count your next 5 breaths.
Done.
You're going to die then.
Yeah.
Get on with the fucking poem, boy.
Oh, boy.
3
breaths.
I want you to take 5. It can be 5 of whatever you like, but make it last a year. And I want you to have a good look around at what's going on here. Slow down, slow down, slow down. And I smoke and work and make no mistake, it's not the cigarette, it's the break. Slow down, slow down, slow down. I want you to take 5 minutes to realize that you are still alive, that your heart beats, that you've got movement in your feet, that although your world is brief, it is also an art house. Thank you. Woo!
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks very much. Can we give for our guest poets tonight, Benjamin Burns and Paul McNamara, a big round of applause. Great performances by all of you. Please give yourselves a round of applause, because man, wow, what a great audience. hand out the prize. Give her the prize.
And also to the Kerry Pirates of Penzance for winning the prize. Brilliant job. Thanks for being guys. We might see you on a Monday.
Can they just, before we all go, sing it one more time?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to break with convention here, guys. We're going to have one more of the old the Mayo Brexit song.
One was a race horse, 2-2 was 1-2. 1-1-1 was a race and 2-2-1-1-2. I just threw that one in for free.
Mayo.
Mayo.
Brexit commander, Brexit go. Mayo.
Mayo.
A Brexit commander, Brexit go.
Hey, Mr. Mayo Man, don't be a dick.
Mayo, come back the Brexit go.
Hey,
Mr. Mayo, cut your line and your lipstick.
Mayo,
come back the Brexit go. Mayo,
Mayo,
Brexit, come back the Brexit go. Brexit, come and the Brexit go. As far as we're concerned, that's a bit fantastic. Brexit, come and the Brexit go. Mayo,
Mayo,
a Brexit, come and the Brexit go.